This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick coming out of the gate strong with the musical genius that is Stevie Wonder. Not one of my favorites. My least favorite is I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Your least favorite?
Yeah.
It's just really?
It's like you were saying, it's just too commercial poppy. When you get into Motown, Stevie, but you get into some of his classics, like he's got albums that you can play start to finish, never skip a song.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
That is a good point. So. Mandy said, man, David won't respond. I've sent him some awesome picks.
I love our listeners.
I'm late. What did douche David do? Oh, you know, just been trying to troll me since November and I just let it go. I was cordial about it, but enough's enough.
Shout outs to you guys that said Aiza Gonzalez was in Baby Driver.
Yes, for sure.
Yep.
Mandy wants to know if I'm going to be in trouble after 4 p.m. for giving out David's number, which, by the way, is 713-259-6821.
At this point, you might as well.
I'm never going to aggravate Barry, ever.
At this point, you might as well just drive it on home, Baby Driver.
Well,
Chris, you're killing it.
No, Chris Brown on Twitter, he sent me a private message and said, hey, what's the number for the troll? Chris, it's 713-259-6821.
This dude is at some Verizon store right now.
He's
in
like,
line,
please make this stop.
I've got it. Yeah.
Oh,
hope
yeah.
Hope you all learned that lesson.
Yeah.
Because we used to do it the old-fashioned way and just scan you on Google and Facebook until we found you. Now, Barry has created a whole different monster.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't normally do that. I would only give the last four, but I...
Yeah, you normally were light with that.
Enough's enough. So, did you watch the Rocket game? Did you?
I watched the first half. I taped the second half. I knew Harden was on fire. You know what? To me, I was hoping there'd be more kind of animosity based on what we talked about yesterday with McCollum and Lillard and saying there's going to be no more layups. People had a field day on social
media. That's
what
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Because he did, like, right when Chris Paul made that first layup, I'm sure everybody went to Twitter and social media and look, I mean.
With the gift, no more layups. Well, so much for that.
I mean, some people had full-blown videos with music on it and everything.
Like, they were ready.
Yeah.
But I do find it funny that Harden made it a point to get to the basket way more than I'm used to seeing.
Not only that, he made a point when they were running high pick and roll to make sure that the Blazers switched so he had Lillard on him because he abused Damon Lillard last
night. He really did.
And on multiple occasions.
He really did. I mean, but I will say this. So I made some observations about the game last night. One of them was I really felt like in that first half, especially in that first quarter, I feel like Portland kind of came out like a bully almost. Like they were exerting their will on the game. They were the ones that were taking it to the Rockets when usually it's the other way around early on. And I'm sure some of that was the hype. Some of that was being at home.
It's the home court advantage.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's throwing the first punch. It's sending the message because of the environment. But, you know, the main thing is in most cases in the NBA, that's what you do. The home team always throws the first punch.
Yes.
But then you see it becomes a prize fight and you see who ends up throwing the last one. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, they came out, the crowd was behind them. I mean, what's his name? El-Farik Aminu made two threes right off the top and you're like, oh, it's going to be one of those hot starts.
He led them in scoring with 22.
Which, if that happens,
yeah,
you know, more you power to El-Farik, but let me just let you know, you're not going to win the game.
If you, I'm fine with them letting him take eight 3-point shots, and he made six of them. He ain't making six of them every night.
But if he's making six of them, that's six less that you're getting from McCollum and Lillard, and Lillard if they don't get going.
God, I'm glad that
0 for 12.
Yeah, how about that
from 3-point range for Lillard and McCollum combined?
Yeah.
My thing is, I've watched Nurkic now a couple of times, and focused on him. That dude can ball.
He is. I was just going to say, he is so good.
He's got, I think the problem is, he reminds me of Capella a year and a half ago. He's inconsistent, but when he wants to enforce his will on the game, and he can change a basketball game.
No question. Now here, let me throw this little wild tidbit at you.
And that's why, a while back, remember when I said, I think the Blazers are the team that would scare me the most? You saw last night why. It was because if Nurkic wants to, he can one up on Capella. He can go man up on Capella and not have a problem.
And there's a couple of centers out there that, look, Clint is still developing for sure.
Yes.
And we always talk about that he could always use a little bit more weight. I don't know how much more weight he could add. But, I mean, he's getting to that point. I think this playoff experience this year is going to do wonders for him, man. When he gets done with this postseason, whether they win the championship or just get to the Western Conference Finals or have an upset situation where they get bounced in the second round, which I hope they don't, I think this is going to be the best learning experience for Clint Capela, no question.
Yeah.
Let me throw this at you, boys.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm totally with you, and I was going to say it before you beat me to it. Nurkic is an unbelievable player. He ran a break last night where he dribbled the ball like a point guard, okay? Now, he's similar to another center in this league. I think it should be coming to you fairly quickly. It almost sounds the same, but if you don't know, I'll help you for the sake of short-term trivia. Nurkic and Jurkic play very similar. Unbelievably skilled, talented, big. Got news for you, boys. They were teammates.
Mm-hmm.
The freaking Nuggets traded Nurkic away for Plum Dog Millionaire. They traded for a Plumlee.
That's hilarious.
They traded for a Plumlee.
That's a great name.
And you Plum could have Dog had a front line
awesome.
With Nurkic, Jurkic, and Paul Millsap. How do you... Why do you screw that up?
Could you imagine Dave South making a play-by-play with both of them on the same team?
Man.
Nurkic to Jurkic. Oh, my God. That would sound terrible, though.
I can't say it, so it's them. Those two big guys for them are killing us.
I tell you what, though. 27 minutes. He played the least amount of minutes of any of the starters because he had a little bit of foul trouble. I think he ended the game with five. But 21 points. I mean, Aminu
quietest
22.
21.
Yes.
Quietest 21 you're going to see.
But, you know, 11 rebounds. I mean, that dude played out of his mind. And that's why I say he most led the game in rebounds. He's the guy to me that makes the difference for that team, kind of in the same way that when you have Harden and CP3, the Rockets are really good. But because they have Capela as an option with that pick and roll, rebounding, blocking shots, that's why they're 39-2. Think about that. 39-2 when those three play in the game together. When it's Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capela, they're 39-2.
Yep.
Guys, that's half a season. I don't want to be, if you do the numbers, guy, that's losing four games a year. That's what 39-2 is when they play together. But I think Nurkic is that guy for the Blazers. And that's a hell of a three when you have Lillard and McCollum. It's very similar to the Rockets. Now, they don't play the same game. They don't run the same offense. And I don't know that the Blazers are as good defensively as the Rockets are as a team.
Other pieces,
but
too.
But they're scary.
They can scare some teams, maybe more so than Minnesota because of the Jimmy Butler injury and because they don't run enough. But the one thing where they're going to get caught is they don't have the complementary pieces
they're
a team
not
like
deep
Houston
enough.
Has.
They're
right.
not deep enough.
Not only their bench, but also just their starters. When you're looking at Mo Harkless, guys like that, you're like, eesh. Because you remember, it wasn't so long ago, their five starters and their bench was impressive. They eliminated the Rockets with that team, and then in one fall swoop, four of the five starters were gone. Lillard was the only one left.
That was the Aldridge era, right?
Aldridge was gone. Wes Matthews Jr. was gone.
Yeah.
They were all gone just like that, and you were like, damn, with Batum, they had some talent. Their backcourt's phenomenal. Nurkic, we've said enough already. It's just if they could get those little pieces and a little bit more on the bench – yeah, that's a team you build around still. That's a team that could scare somebody in the first round.
I think outside of the Warriors, if you're going to be worried about a team and having to face a team that could eliminate you, they proved last night.
Factor in the other thing that you just said, too. What was the first thing you said about the way the game started last night?
They bullied them.
Yeah, and but why?
The home court.
Boom.
Yeah, and that was
when
the
they
other
get
thing,
home court advantage in the first round.
I'm glad
round,
you said that.
Because they're going to be a top four pick, it looks like, or top four seed. Home court, and you're playing Portland, you're in trouble.
So two other things that I wrote down. One was the crowd.
Yep.
That might be, I know that a lot of other crowds get a lot of love. That might be the best crowd in the NBA.
I told y'all.
Like, I mean, it was packed from tip. It was loud.
Think about it.
They were into
it. I used to work there. Only game in town. Only professional team in town. And there is a love relationship that's always been there with that organization, that franchise. And their only championship, which they won in 77, the passion of that fan base, ridiculous.
Right.
I just don't see why it's not like that in Houston. Not because they don't sell out. You see a lot of arenas out there that have empty seats like the Rockets, but they're still louder.
I will say, I don't think that none of us on this show or anywhere else do give enough credit to the fact that Houston is very spread out. Even compare, like when you compare Houston to Portland, it's not even close. I'm sure Portland has traffic issues, but dude, think about that. If you work downtown and live in Katy, to get from downtown to Katy and back, to because maybe you got a babysitter you got to let in for the kids, and that's a That's the, like, I have a show tonight at the Houston Improv. I'm not going to the Woodland. I'm not going to Spring. Shut up, Nick. I'm not going to Spring. I'm not going to drive all the way back to Spring to have to drive back down here again when it's 10 minutes away. But I have that luxury because I don't have kids or a dog to let out or any of that other stuff. So I just stay here. But that's the struggle I think a lot of people face. Is this a suburban town,
not
a
only
suburban
that,
city.
But think about it. The distractions are everywhere. On any given night, the Rockets may be playing. So are colleges. So are high schools. And we know how high school sports, especially football, is big in this town.
That's
so
a one. Yeah,
Dynamo
you're right.
could be
you're
playing. Right. You know, you could have something going down.
Baseball season's about to start.
You could have something going down at the Hobby Center or other places, not to mention everything that's going on in your life. There's so many things to do in a major metropolitan city like Houston, too, that you have options, and they're so plentiful. Then you start factoring traffic and everything else, and you're going, I could do this instead.
Yeah, or I could just watch it on TV. My other note besides the crowd was the fact that you could, man, it's what a luxury it is to have Chris Paul, because we all knew that he was one of the best point guards to have played the game. But the fact that he can actually shoot, and we mentioned it a little bit when they went out and got him. Listen, don't sleep on his ability to hit the three-point shot, because his percentage over his career is really good. It was close to 40%, if I'm not mistaken. But he took over last night when they needed someone to step up and take over while Harden was out. Because Harden obviously did his thing. 42 points, you can't knock that. But those he made two or three three-pointers in a row that, to me, was the turning point of the
and
game.
And that's what they're going to need
once
postseason.
They never looked
back. But that's what they didn't have last year. They're going to have this postseason.
Absolutely. But they have that, though. And then, of course, you had Ariza with the big three-pointer that kind of sealed the deal. Yep. What scares me, though, is at the end of the game, I haven't seen anything. I don't know if you guys have. What's the extent of the injury to Chris Paul?
I was just going to say.
That scared
the
me.
The minute it happens and he's telling everybody in the post-game interview he's okay, that's one thing. Next day, when everything starts setting in, yeah, that's not – with all the injuries going across the league, that's one you got to keep an eye on.
I'd be lying if I didn't think to myself as soon as it happened, maybe they should start resting these guys more.
Shut him down.
They want that one seed so bad.
I know.
Though.
They got
but
it.
But you know what? I mean, we haven't even discussed on this show the fact that there was rumors the Warriors are faking all these injuries.
Which we can get to.
Yeah, we can. We have time. But man, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if they slowed it down. So.
11 games to play. They're 3.5 or 4 games up, depending on how you look at it.
But I'm not saying like sit
they got
them.
This.
I'm saying
right, slow
if
them
they're
down.
Playing like last night, both of them played 33 and 32 minutes. I'm good with 25. I'm good with each of those guys playing 20, 25
biggest
minutes.
The problem you got is, are they good with it? Because they're such
so.
Ball, they
I mean, that's
ball
why you got you know, don't let them. That's not their decision to make.
All right, and there was some good stuff in the postgame too. We'll get the postgame sound coming back after the break. But right now, I want to tell you, speaking of the Rockets, that season tickets are now on sale, and you know how good Chris Paul and James Harden are. You know that the Rockets are going to be competitive for a championship in the next 3 years. Why not lock your playoff tickets in right now? Now, that's right. The Rockets are for the first time ever running a special where if you buy your season tickets in the club area right now, you lock in that price for the next 3 years. They can't bump the price up on you. They can't throw you a curveball later in the deal and say that, oh, because of this and that, we're going to have to up the prices by this percentage. It doesn't work that way. You lock in your price for the next 3 years. It's on club seats only, but you can do it right now. All you got to do is get onto Rockets.com or call 713-627-DUNK. They'll get you with a ticket rep. They'll start working with you, and they'll let you know how this whole thing works. Now, all the other price levels are also on sale for season tickets, but the only one that has the deal for 3 years, no price increases, are the club seats. Want to be upfront about that, but still a great deal because you know part of the reason why you get season tickets is you want a team that's winning. Well, I'm pretty sure this team is winning and is going to be winning for the next 3 years, so you want to get on board now before you're paying far too much when it's too late. Also, you buy now, priority tickets, priority for this year's season ticket, or for this year's playoff tickets. So you get priority, what do we call that now? Priority VIP status. Priority status if you get those, if you get that package now. Everybody wants playoff tickets. They're going to be hard as hell to find. But if you get in on now on some season tickets, you also get priority for playoff tickets. It's a great deal. Again, 713-627-DUNK, Rockets.com.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You put the
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Go ahead, Barry.
Go ahead. You lost, Nick. I mean,
the
I'm all...
Day?
No.
This no? Was Nick was wearing the t-shirts with the big neon letters on.
Oh, I hate both of you. I know you're...
I have proclaimed myself a fan of the music, but you can't win.
Do you know where this song was on the billboards in 1985?
Oh, it had to be up top five.
Yeah. So someone was listening to it.
Yeah, it was number one in San Francisco.
No, it was
no,
not.
No, because back in the day, all the girls thought that.
Yeah, you didn't know back then. Yeah. Although, let's be real.
You didn't know how wham they were whamming.
Stupid. Let's be real though. Did anyone? It's one of those things when you hear it, you're like, yeah. It was. No one was surprised to find out that George Michael was gay.
I didn't know.
Not a single person.
I didn't know. It surprised me. It did surprise me.
It was just rumored for so long.
You're the first person. Like, if I found out,
every chick that in my high school, every chick thought he was just the end all be all. So I was like, dude can have every piece of ass he wants. So I'm like,
well, he got them all.
So this is a song that you got made fun of later, like after the fact. Is it one of those songs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, and Googled this list for sure.
Did you? No.
So
this
you passed when you had your neon leg warmers and the neon T-shirts, but
1985, bro, I was two.
Trust me, if this song comes on in the truck and I'm driving down the road by myself, I'm singing it. Totally singing it.
Thank God no one saw us dancing to it.
Oh, yeah.
I should have got that on video.
I had the jazz hands going like a mug. Like, we were getting it. But, this George, I can't, you're the first person I've met where if someone was like, George Michael's gay, and you're like, what? Like, that, yeah, totally see that.
But he came out and then got caught in the bathroom, right? Under the stall
It was way after.
Okay, yeah. I literally, for the longest time, because again, from the MTV generation, I thought he could have any chick on the planet, and I thought he was.
I bet you this song is going to be stuck in your head the entire day now.
It's like finding out Ellen's gay. You're like, yeah, okay.
If it's not, you playing it the entire segment will have the impact that you want, for sure. By the way, for all of you that are my biggest critics, because I'm not going to give your phone numbers, Jokic... Nurkic. Happy?
Yes.
Jokic.
Yes.
Nurkic.
That was what a couple of folks were just correcting pronunciation on the text line. No big deal. No harm, no foul. You people aren't perfect either.
Daryl Morey and Gerson Rosas didn't tell me that during a broadcast? Okay, good. All right, we can move on now. Chuck's been waiting a long time. Do you want to get him in?
Let's
get the Chuckster in here. Chuck, what's up?
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to point out something and see if y'all agree with me on it when it comes to the Rockets. I think they have gotten to a point now where, if you notice, our two stars, Harden and Paul, took 23 pointers, yet Lillard and McCollum only took 12. We'll give you a role player three-pointer, but we run everybody else in the long twos. And I think it's I think it's not mentioned enough how we funnel everybody into playing into 2 points. And if you got a big, they'll give Nurkic whatever he wants, because we know with our ISO ball and our shooters, we're going to continually set you up for three. So, I mean, I just want to know what y'all think on that, because I think it's really incredible what they're doing as far as that kind of defensive set. Like, hear what y'all say.
Appreciate the call, Chuck. There were a couple of times in the first half specifically that I recall thinking, man, their perimeter defense, and I'm talking about the Rockets, was really good.
Because they have a lot of length.
They were like their rotation. There was one point where I think it ended up being a missed 3-point shot by McCollum, but he wasn't even open. But the ball just kept moving around outside on the perimeter, and every time the Rockets would rotate and have a hand in the shooter's face before he could get a shot up. Here's the only flaw in the logic that Chuck had, and I agree with a lot of what he said, but the problem is, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum aren't going to go 0-for-12 from behind the 3-point line every night, or in a 7-game series. If they make two of those, if they each make one of their attempts, if Lillard goes 1 for 7, if McCollum goes 1 for 5, the Blazers win. That's 6 points. That's 117 to 115. The Blazers win. They're not going to go 0 for 12 every night. True. That's the only thing you have to be concerned about.
Here's the other thing. If you watch the first half, which was a great first half for action and scoring, give McCollum some props. Everybody knows Lillard, and everybody's talking about maybe he's the best point guard in the league now, but he's gotten his props finally because he's been there for a while. The shots that McCollum made by keeping his pivot foot alive, where he was literally looked like he was going completely forward, stopped with the pivot, went backwards. Everybody on the defense went to the backside, kept his pivot foot, was able to hit a tough runner, a tough banker. Dude is talented, right? But here's the thing that, just like last year when I told you playoffs are going to slow down, the things that I told you that no one wanted to hear, and then they came to fruition with the Spurs. One of the ones things I want you to watch because of what you were talking about, Barry. Look, from a defensive perspective, night and day, they are a better team. And that is a huge, huge advantage that they didn't have last year. And it's a lot to do with the PJ Tuckers, as we've talked about, and the Mbah Amutes, as well as adding a guy like Chris Paul. The biggest thing you're going to have to watch is the same way the Rockets were perimeter defending and getting out there like that, what teams are going to do, especially good coaches that know how to scheme for this, is Harden has been more demonstrative when he goes ISO. He's the best ISO driving without and score player in the league.
Without a doubt.
But what I don't like is he's giving it away. He used to kind of put his head down a little bit, but you didn't know he was going to pass right away. You didn't know what he was going to do. Now it's like a bull getting ready to charge. He puts his head down with a big move. He starts almost scratching the dirt where he'll give you the jab step and pull back, jab step, pull back. You know it's coming now. He's tipping his hand too much. It's kind of like when we said about Darvish tipping his pitches.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a coach, and what you're going to see in the playoffs is the closest wing defender to either side of James Harden, the minute he starts doing that little dance and trance, is going to come over and either force him to get rid of it or take him out of the ability to have a one-on-one matchup that's advantageous to him and go to the basket. That's where other people are going to have to beat you. That's where Chris Paul is going to have to be, hopefully, the guy he gets the ball to so he can still facilitate the offense. He can get into the lane. He can find the open shooter, or he can make his 15-footers. Because what they're getting right now in the regular season, they're not going to get in the playoffs because teams are going to look at enough tape going, I'm playing this team in a 7-game series. I know the head of the snake is James Harden. And I know when he starts putting his head down and doing that jab step and pull back, dribbling too much between his legs, that's the indicator. Boom, he's going to try and do something. I'm going to double him right there.
Well, and they're trying that more, and that's a good point. I mean, there's a lot more double teams. I mean, you saw it a couple of nights ago when they would just run at Harden. They weren't even trying to disguise the double team on the switch or anything. They just ran at him. So, yeah, it's a good point. That'll be interesting to see if, like you're saying, he's continues to show what
he's
move
just
tipping
his hand a little
for.
Too soon. He doesn't need all that. I know it's
he's
great
becoming
for TV.
Predictable.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what else is predictable? How good the food is at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen.
We should go there tomorrow.
You know, we should. In fact, let's just get the whole station and go there tomorrow between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and just broadcast live while the tournament's going on. I think we should do that. We're going to do that. You guys should come out and join us. 1901 Taft in Midtown if you don't have the address. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. You're going to love the place. You're going to love the food. They're known for having some of the best butter chicken in Houston, but you should also try the Himalayan Heat Burger. It is hands down one of the best burgers in H-Town. Try that when you come out tomorrow. Let me know what you think. Wings, sliders, chicken curry, chicken fried steak, doesn't matter. One of the things you should try when you get there is the non-quesadillas as well. Get that. Look, dude, this is how I would eat. If I were you, this is what I would do if I went to Cowboys and Indians. Show up, tell them, you know what? I listen to ESPN 97.5. Give me the non-quesadillas first. Those are quesadillas made with non-bread. You're going to get 20% off of those. Then order the Himalayan Heat Burger. Eat that. It's delicious. Then get you a slice of red velvet cake before you leave. You're going to be in a food coma. You're going to love it. Come up and thank me before you head out. 1901 Taft in Midtown again. They've got TVs. They've got a full-service bar. If you can't make it out but you still want some delicious food for dinner, you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. Make it out there, 1901 Taft in Midtown. CNI713 on Facebook. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
We built this city.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Really? It's a good-ass song.
It sucks.
Nope. You suck.
This band was so bad as Jefferson Starship, in order to try and reinvent themselves, they went to just Starship.
Yeah, kind of like it used to be the Tampa Bay Devil Rays and then the Rays.
And they still
Portland
suck.
Trail Blazers, now it's suck. The Blazers. Jefferson Starship, Starship, bitches.
You were doing your Gray Slick over here with the white girl's overbite and the boobs out and the hand up. Yeah.
Pew, pew.
You're giving it.
Any
good choice, Nick.
Anytime it's like 1985 or before, I'm just going to ask people and cheat. I'm not even
going to. You totally should. This is a good-ass song, though.
Ask Trey. He'll help you.
Trey is pretty impressive with his music knowledge.
Trey?
Intern Trey?
My Bloody Valentine Trey?
Juggalo Trey?
Oasis?
Jugs?
Yeah, Jugs.
Yeah.
Juggalo Trey?
I love this song.
Slow down.
I'm starting to call him that. I had to call him yesterday because I left a meal in the microwave that he needed to throw out for me, which he forgot. And I just called him and said, Jugs. And he's like, yeah, what's up? I'm sorry I missed your call. All right. Just do what I ask you to do, and it's all good.
Eric said, it's been said a million times, but the Rockets have three people who have never done a thing in the playoffs. What changes? Well, the fact that they've never played together in the playoffs changes
adding
a lot.
Chris Paul changes a ton.
Let me just tell you, there's this team that didn't do much in the playoffs called the Astros. And then they added a bunch of key pieces in the offseason, Beltran. Brian McCann, Josh Reddick. And then they added some more leadership, some more veterans down the stretch, and Verlander. And then they went all the way through the playoffs and won a World Series. So the point is that this lineup has been retooled compared to any other lineup that this current core team has been. So you've got a veteran leader in Chris Paul that's been around the block. Has he won? No. But you know what? That neither had Altuve. Neither these guys hadn't won at all. But you've got enough guys that know how to play in the NBA, like Nene, like Joe Johnson, like, you know, Mbamute, PJ. These are veteran guys that's who you're hoping don't fold down the stretch, and they probably won't. They've been around the block enough. That's the difference.
I'll say that Kevin Durant is a guy that never won anything until he joined the Warriors, right? He joined a team that had already won, but before that team had won, Thompson and Curry hadn't won anything, right? So
they won one without him.
Well, I'm saying before they all they won it, but initially before they started playing Draymond, there was a lot of things that happened. Mark Jackson had teams with the Warriors where you get to a certain level.
That's correct.
Right? So as you continue to progress as a franchise, as a team, James Harden has never had a Chris Paul and vice versa. So Dwight Howard proved to not be that guy when James gets doubled and James gets the ball taken out of his hands. Dwight couldn't be the finisher that they needed. Chris Paul, we don't know. So I'm not going to say he is that guy, but he sure seems like that guy. Now, you can be critical of the other pieces because I was asked several times recently, aside from Paul and Harden, who's the first guy you trust? Now, I wanted to say Eric Gordon, but you look at it, and he had a really disappointing playoffs last year. He's had those stretches like this year when he goes ice cold. There's two guys on the roster that have averaged double figures in the playoffs, in Gordon and Ariza. Those are the two guys that you would think would be the next guy to step up scoring-wise. Mm-hmm. But it's consistency. It's a seven-game series where you need to get it. So I get it. There's going to be a lot of... And this goes back to what I said after all this meltdown happened with the Spurs. Regardless of what you have next year in the regular season, which they've had the best in franchise history, you're not going to be able to erase it till the playoffs. But look, I'd rather be going into the playoffs with this team with a chance to erase it than last year's team.
Oh, yeah.
They don't defend, and they had Dwight Howard.
Exactly. And this is a completely retooled Rockets team.
So why wouldn't you at least give them the benefit of the doubt? Because the deck has been reshuffled, and their new lineup is pretty staunch.
Yeah, I just think it's a negative way to look at it, especially with the landscape being completely changed on the roster. So I would completely disagree with that. I don't know why people would say that. Maybe it's, you know, negative people expecting the worst to happen.
This is Houston.
Expecting to get disappointed,
yes.
You know.
This is Houston. We talked about it with the Cougars. When you talk about the Cougars in the NCAA tournament, there's more heartbreak than there is happiness.
No question.
When you talk about what Barry just said, the Astros, there's been more heartbreak until this last year. So they get conditioned to be that way. We all know as Houstonians, people keep always talking about this is Houston. That's what's going to happen. 35-3 is going to happen. You know, all these different things are going to happen. Hopefully, now that the Astros started the movement, the Rockets can start getting the teams to erase that way of thinking.
And you know, when you look at the collapse last year with Harden disappearing in the game, in the last game, I think some of that difference is the fact that you do have Eric Gordon and Ariza, but you have Chris Paul. You have a Capella that's a factor now. Capella wasn't necessarily the guy that he is this year on this team, on this offense. This is, even compared to last year, this offense runs different. It looks different. It functions differently. And it's not only that, but the other thing they couldn't do in the playoffs was defend. This team can defend. So if Harden does disappear for a couple of quarters or a game, your defense should keep you in games.
No question about it. And here's the other thing. And I've talked to people that have been very close to the situation over the years, including guys that have been coaching James Harden. That's where it all starts too. He's a different player. He's matured. He actually understands that he has to play some defense, and he's been better at it.
I think he's grown a little bit, like his thick skin, a little bit thicker.
And at the same time, the biggest thing is he is the best offensive player in this league.
But last night, I got to admit, God, he was pissing me off a little bit with the pouting. There was a stretch for about five or six possessions in a row where he drove to the bucket and didn't get the call. And he's down there just exacerbated, just pissed off. And it's 5-on-4 on the other end.
Yeah, you can't do that in the playoffs.
You cannot. And they got lucky that they eked out a win against this team. But you can't just take a couple of possessions off because you didn't get the call. Because guess what, James Harden? You're not getting the calls in the postseason like you do in the regular season. You know that for a fact. You better get used to it. And so hopefully guys like Chris Paul and PJ Tucker, again, guys that weren't in his ear last year are going to be in his ear this year at the playoffs. And also, I don't know if you noticed last night, but they pulled Capella at one point for a dumb defensive foul. He went and sat down, and as soon as he sat down, guess who he sat next to? Nene. And you could see Nene pat him on the shoulder and start pointing around the court. Teaching. He's teaching. This is a dude that's still learning how to play center, and he's already one of the best in the NBA. So there's a lot of reasons for hope.
My point was, Dwight Howard was gone 2 years ago. My point was, last year, there was not a James Harden bailout Robin to his Batman. Correct. He didn't have anybody to go to. And the guys that he went to didn't show
Eric
up.
Eric Gordon.
But he didn't show up consistently. So yeah, it's happened over the years. It's just a matter of now you've got a legitimate Hall of Famer to get the ball to, who's also a facilitator.
And can shoot.
So you hear that? That's rock.
That is a stupid-ass song.
That is just flat-out rock and roll.
No love for Bruce Springsteen.
I hate Bruce Springsteen.
We already said we both don't like
it. Put some respect on his name.
Garbage. Garbage music.
Glenn Davis is in the building. He'll go give you some Bruce love.
This is rock and roll. No, it's not. No, it's not.
God, I knew nothing about the 80s,
This is pop and roll.
Like, I knew nothing about 80s music.
Yeah,
sure.
you picked a bad one.
I'm still trying to think of the Courtney Cox song. The video.
I don't know. Google.
I know, we'll get it. All right, so we got one segment to go in the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ Jung, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. Final segment on deck. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final segment, Usual Suspects. I'm sorry, Jaron Thompson. My favorite peanut butter is Jif. We've already covered this. GIF, GIF, it doesn't matter. It can both be used the same ways. Now go back to posting your pictures with Daddy and your favorite team.
Uh-oh, what'd I miss?
He's the one that keeps sending messages to properly say that it is a...
Oh, you took that way too serious.
I'm tired of
it. Yeah, you took that way too serious.
I didn't give his phone number.
No? It's probably good.
He has some great pictures with his dad, and he puts little frames around him every time one of the Houston teams gets
in the playoffs. He loves his dad. What's wrong with that?
And he loves the Houston teams in the playoffs, so go team.
Somebody said Dancing in the Dark.
Correct.
It was the song.
We figured that out when I sang it for you in the break.
Yes. Yes,
after Courtney we sang Cox, out. Before Friends fame, was the girl in the front row.
Francisco just tweeted us a picture of his kids. Said, voted number one and number one in ratings amongst my kids. Shout out to Francisco's kids.
Way to go, kids.
Those are good kids. Those are smart kids listening to this fine program where we never cuss. Stay in school, kids.
No
also,
question.
Don't be so fast.
Yeah, slow down in first grade.
Yeah.
Good Lord, that story was a little disturbing. That was crazy. I got a daughter that's in preschool, pre-kindergarten.
Oh, dude, we've talked about that. I feel bad for you.
Man.
Are you going to have the talk with her? Or is Lisa going
to
do it?
Lisa's probably going to be afraid to do it.
So you're going to have to be the one that talks to your daughter
not,
about sex?
I hope
sex?
Lisa does, but, you know.
Bro,
here's the thing. I do know one thing. Whether it was inherited through her gene pool or because she's learned some things, she can stick up for herself pretty good. Like, we don't ever... One thing we've noticed at school, too, which she's gotten... She first learned the Heisman pose. Because if anybody gets near her, she gives them a stiff arm.
Yeah.
She's taken boys out at school, which we've talked about. Because we got notes sent home after she put some physical punishment on some boys that took her toys. Now she's got this new thing where everything... It's mine! And you know what happens is, at school,
typical
it's like...
Woman.
It's like... what do you call it? Community toys. But if she gets one that she's playing with... If a boy comes over to try and take it, it's mine.
Yeah.
I ain't mad She's at her a
woman.
For that.
She's a woman. That's
Not
how
yet,
that goes.
But she can take the slowest path to getting there. I'll be
I'll
fine
give
with
you
that.
Half of it back. Yeah. That's probably how she does it. Half the Legos, half the glue.
Oh, she ain't even giving up half.
No?
Mm-mm.
Nope. Cali Boy in Texas said the Rockets better win it all soon. CP3 may be a good leader, but his leadership style wears thin after a while. Look at the end with the Clippers. If I'm not mistaken, the end with the Clippers was more really between CP3 and Blake Griffin, not the Clippers and Doc. And but I mean him and DeAndre Jordan,
they're still
they
friends.
They got along.
You
just
showed
fine.
It. They showed it after the game the other night. Those guys are still friends. But here's the thing:
it
was
think a lot
all
of those
the side
guys...
dynamics because it's not Doc Rivers and his coaching alone. It's the fact that Doc Rivers brought in Austin Rivers, then made him the backup point guard, then was given playing time that upset a lot of people in the locker room, and the whole Chris and Blake thing was legit. But look, everybody thought that the Harden and Dwight Howard thing was going to work out. It didn't work out, okay? But you took a shot. So you're taking another shot by bringing in a Hall of Fame point guard. The bigger question to me is, at the end of the year, as much as he loves being here, if he wants max dollars, we're talking over $200 million a year on a five-year deal. Are you good with that?
No.
I think that's a lot of cake for a guy
that's
on the downside.
Too many years.
Are you good with maxing out Clint Capella? I'm good with giving Clint Capella 20. But offensively, he's not good enough to be one of your go-to max players.
Do you think he's going to get a max deal?
I'm afraid someone's going to try and blow
it out. Tackle him?
Like, yeah, the Brooklyn Nets with a ton of money to spend, and they're not going to get near the cap number.
Yeah.
Someone's going to try and make him a huge offer you can't refuse kind of thing.
I mean, he's earned it, though.
I just, on both of them, I'm a no. I give Clint 20 a year. He's definitely worth that.
Okay.
And I find a reasonable number for Chris Paul, and if he wants to keep winning, realize that in reasonable, I mean, you don't have to be a supermax player if you truly are dedicated to winning.
That's the thing. You look at, you know, the Warriors have built that around the contracts that they have because they had favorable contracts with Curry Klay Thompson and Green. So you could kind of build around that. Now, the Warriors aren't as deep as they used to be because of that as well. They had to sign Durant. You got to give up some money somewhere. You've got to make some sacrifices. But the Rockets aren't in that same position. If the Rockets do win a championship this year, they're not in that position where they've got the core of their team on contracts that still exist for a long period of time. You're not going to get that with Chris Paul. Capella's due pretty soon. The only one that you have locked up long term really is Harden.
And Ryan Anderson, which you'd love to have a redo of.
But yeah, you don't want that. But so they're in a bit of a different situation. They still are playing under the same rules as far as salary goes, but they're in a bit of a different situation. So if you lose those guys, it's just a matter of replacing them with the right superstars to surround James with. Because you still have the money to do that. But you've just got to make sure that you get that right guy again. Because James needs a guy that's going to push him, but that compliments him at the same time that he can also respect. That wasn't the case with Dwight Howard. That is the case with CP3. And I think that makes all the difference in the world
for
James
Harden.
The thing
is like you and I have talked about, I brought this up when CP3 first came here, was there was no pre-existing relationship with Dwight, and it went south.
Yeah.
There's a pre-existing relationship that was in place with Chris Paul, a mutual respect, so that it didn't go south. It actually has improved both players' play on the court and the camaraderie off of it. And it kind of filtered down to other players. And it even gets to the point that of stuff we were talking about yesterday and the day before, where guys have each other's backs.
Yeah.
You know, when you were in the Dwight and James camps, which I was, you realized real soon that you couldn't just immediately go to have, if you were on team Dwight and you went to try and have James Harden's back, that could be an issue.
Yeah, it can.
No, it was back then.
But I'm saying, but it can be if you've got the wrong guys. But in this particular case, they have the right guys. So you've got to replace them. If you're going to let CP3 walk or you're going to let Capella walk, you've got to find guys that complement them, that are similar complementary players to James Harden. Yep. But before we go, I wanted to get this audio in. Did you see where so there was a pro day and Belichick got to meet Bradley Chubb at his pro day and they were going through some drills. And at the end, they have this quick little discussion. And you can tell that Bradley Chubb is kind of in awe of meeting Bill Belichick. And Belichick had the following to say in response to Bradley Chubb coming over and saying hi.
Well done. Yeah, appreciate good it. To meet you, man. Brendan Daly, I'm with the Patriots.
Okay, cool.
D-line.
Yeah,
thank you, sir.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, nice job.
Yes, sir. Good. Honored to meet you, Coach. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sir.
We're picking 31st, no chance.
Yes, sir.
Good luck.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
If you couldn't hear him, he said, it's an honor to meet you, sir. It's an honor to meet you, Mr. Belichick. And Belichick goes, yeah. We're picking 31st. You're not going to be around. Like, he was just like, yeah, you don't have to kiss my ass. There's no chance that I'm drafting you. So, good job, kid. But, yeah, that's hilarious that he's like, yeah, we're picking 31st. You're not going to be around. And he's not. I mean, this is a guy that
oh, God, he's a beast.
Yeah.
He's really good.
I'm still interested to figure out what the Browns are going to do.
It's still up in the air.
I still say they could trade down depending on what they're targeting. I think they keep that number one pick because they know that the quarterbacks, that everyone
that's the problem.
Is moving up
with
now
the Jets
for
moving up and everybody starting to, like you said, climb the ladder to get closer to the quarterback they want. They better either make sure that they're good with taking any of the three or they better pinpoint the guy they want at one and run the risk of losing Barkley at two to the Giants.
Which may also mean if they've got the first pick and then two more quarterbacks are going to go two and three, they may actually hang on to four if Saquon Barkley is a guy.
I agree.
But, I mean, it looked like that they were going to trade, but now that everybody's moved up, that may not be the case. They may end up hanging on to that pick.
That's why you see so much that shakes down back and forth in many different directions before it actually gets to draft day and even on draft day. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that. Aha! Nick, I see what you did there. So we'll continue to roll on. Way Back Wednesday was fun.
I got to say, you won Way Back Wednesday. Congrats.
Oh, thank you.
We had a couple of votes. Your list was obviously better than...
That was probably so hard for him to admit.
Pretty difficult.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do my part for team chemistry. Inside right now, I just want to punch myself in the face for saying it. You definitely, my hat's off to you for winning Way Back. Nick was definitely a distant third, though.
I thought Wham would garbage. Just put me over the top.
No, it did just, you became a bottom.
You got a whammy.
You became a bottom real
big
quick.
Big bucks, no whammies.
Also, shout out to Haas from Cowboys Indies. He texted me, said, are you ready? Hell yeah, are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready to
eat. I need three helpings of quesadillas for one.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll be at Cowboys and Indians in Midtown off of Taft tomorrow, so come on out and see us. Not just us, the whole damn lineup. It is going to be fun and games, and we'd love to see you there. We'll see you tomorrow at Cowboys and Indians, Friday at Prime Social on Westheimer. We're taking the show on the road. You might as well come along for the ride. The Blitz is next. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.